Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, how many of us have them? Friends, ones we can depend on. Friends, how many of us have the keys to your home and you shit depends on?
For calling in tonight. We're here tonight with A. Michelle Grogan as my co-host and Sky Vaughn. Hi, ladies.
Hello, hello, hello.
And welcome to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. Today we're talking about love and friendship and the word friend and discerning the true meaning versus its misuse and constant overuse. So I'm going to open up a couple of things tonight, and everyone remember that your mics are open, so you're free to join in the discussion and free to ask questions or make comments. Just give us your area code and the last four digits of your number, or if you want to give us your name, you can, because this is a safe space for us. So let's open up and let's talk a little bit about how the word love and friend is being used in society and relationships today. Let's Sky, if you want to start that off, and A. Michelle, jump in whenever you feel free.
Yeah. One of the things we talked about as far as those words, they've become generic. They've become regurgitated words. And I think when we opened up to social media and all the different outlets we have out there, we began using those words just freely. Facebook friend, IG friend, those type of things like that. I think somewhere along the line we lost the meaning, the true meaning of what that is, or how to discern or distinguish between what's real and what's not.
Okay. Hey, Michelle?
I definitely agree with what Sky said. I do believe that the word friendship or friend is a very loosely used word. And I think that people want friendships and relationships without the work. I think we enjoy the title of being someone's friend or being someone's bestie or being in a relationship, being in love or saying you love someone, but far too often we're not willing to do the work it requires to have a friendship. Anybody can get on your page and hit like or say I'm praying for you or saying I'll be there, but do we really get up in the wee hours of the morning and comfort our friend or honor our word towards our friend or honor them even when they're not present? So I definitely agree with what Sky said. That term is very generic, and I don't think that we know the true meaning of friendship anymore. It's been lost.
Okay. Yeah, and then I can't even say I'll speak on the contrary of that because, you know, you guys just spoke raw, unadulterated truth. And it's pretty, it's turning into almost a very sad and troubled situation. Because if we actually don't know who our friends are, or we don't know how to have friends, we're saying a lot about ourselves and the people that we're bringing into our inner circle, because, you know, we're saying either we are incapable of trusting, or we have people in our lives who are incapable of trusting, and we're saying we don't have people who are truly supportive of who we are in our walk, in our journey. We don't even have people who are walking along with us in our journey. I mean, that goes very deep when we don't really know who our friends are, because everybody's not supposed to be on the journey with you, you know. And then when we overuse the word love, not that you could tell someone you love them too much, but when we overuse the word love or we misuse the word love, then it loses its meaning. No, you know, it doesn't mean anything to the person you're saying it to, especially if they hear you say it to everybody, even people you don't really know. And we're not talking about agape, and we're not talking on a spiritual tip. We're talking about our everyday lives with the close people that we have, you know, around us and surrounding us. So I find it extremely troubling that, you know, we don't really know what friends are and we don't really know what love is. So I want to expound on that a little bit more and ask you ladies, when someone says, you know, I love you, but they're showing you things that are quite the opposite, is that something you should believe? I mean, or should you wait? Is love something that a person grows into, or is love something that someone experiences, you know, right off? Can a person right off genuinely love someone?
I think in our pre-meeting, you had mentioned that love is so hard to define, and I definitely agree with you, because I feel I have love for people I don't even know, or maybe that's empathy. When someone goes through something, I care about what they're going through, so I'm not sure if I love them. I'm not sure. I would have to define love. You would have to tell me what love means in order for me to answer that question, if that makes any sense.
Okay. Scott?
Speaking on that, and I come from a place of energy. I believe that we are all love, you know, and we are to exhibit that to people, even strangers, because that's who we are. A lot of us. And so I think for me, and I guess I can only speak for me, I can meet somebody new and feel love for them because of their humanness, you know, because we're all connected, and I come from that place. I think the word itself has several meanings. It can have several meanings. It can mean what I just explained. It could mean I'm in love with my mate. It could mean, you know, I have a lot of love for my really good friends, you know, things like that. So it's one word, but I think it can have several meanings. To what we're talking about, the superficial love, again, I'm going to use social media, you know, is that word that's thrown out, you know, that has really no meaning, because it's not coming from a love base, if that makes any sense. It's just a regurgitated word, and it's something that's become common to say. The same thing, you used the word bestie earlier. That's just the word everybody's using now, especially the young people. Oh, she's my bestie, and you just know her on Facebook, you know. So it's one of those things when it comes to friends. I think you can have a lot of love, you know, for your good friends. You can be in love with your mate. In general, you know, you can just love everybody on a human level, spiritual level. So,
but words, you know, we know that words have power.
Yeah.
And we know that all words have meaning. And so therefore, and it's not that all that things should need a word to have a meaning, but that's how we are as humans. In order for us to identify and to understand things and to be able to embrace things, we give it labels and terms, and we give those mm-hmm. labels and terms meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Would you guys agree?
I agree.
I definitely okay. agree, because for me, when we were talking, like I told you, we've talked before, and if I invite you into my home and I feed you a meal, you're my friend, because my home is my sanctuary. And as Sky speaks a lot about energy, energy is very important. We can be Facebook friends. I can party with you. I can speak to you on the outside. But if you come into my home and I feed you, you are my friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. means you can leave your secrets with me and they're safe. You can leave your mate with me and they're safe. You can be vulnerable with me and you're safe. I take that word friend very seriously, and it means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if we call each other friends, unfortunately, I have expectations. And I am prepared to do a certain amount of work to be in your space as well. It's just not one-sided with me.
Okay. Yeah. So if someone claims you as a friend or says that they love you, I would think that along with those words, because, you know, one of the things I used to say a lot when I was teaching, especially in private colleges, because, you know, sometimes when kids come from a lot, you know, they see things very differently, and education for them is something totally different. They come from money, and so education means something absolutely and totally different to them, and the way they're educated is absolutely and totally different from the way that the average kid growing up in an urban area would be educated. And so to them, when they say something, a lot of it is couched in other concepts and other motives and other ulterior motives, because they're moving up social ladders, and they're making and they're willing and dealing, and they start doing this in junior high school. Okay. They're geared in the direction upon which they're going to be going around junior high school. It's time to get serious about what you're going to do with your life. So I would think that along with your words, there has to be some sort of a what's the best way I could put that? Some sort of a silent sense of showing that you really mean those things, even when you're not saying the words. You actually are showing that you have that meaning. And it's a physical showing that you genuinely love someone. For instance, just to simply call and check in on a friend on a regular basis genuinely shows that you care about that friend. You might be married and you're going to see your wife or your husband when you get home, but checking in on them during the day is a form of showing that you love them, aside from just saying I love you and you're passing one another like two ships in the night. I think there should be action behind your words that show proof that you're standing accountable to your users, because words have power, and people are holding you. Well, people are taking you for your word, because, you know, some people don't hold you accountable for the things that you say to them.
Yeah.
So I wanted us to expound on that, and how when someone tells us they love us or they consider us a friend, that we should be watching to that those words being made truth, those words coming to fruition, those words being manifested.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. It's like what was brought out earlier when she said when she invites someone to her home, you'll consider her friend. We have to set the standards of what that means to us individually. Both of those things are things that need to be developed. There's action behind words. Right now, in the beginning, they're just words. So someone just come out and say, I love you, or you're my friend. You know, those are words. It takes time to get to know different people, and those things will develop over time and become truly a friend or someone that loves you. You'll know that by the actions of the individual. But you set the tone for that. And there are other words. A lot of people is thrown about so easily. For example, somebody you work with. A lot of people introduce them as a friend. Well, you can say they're a colleague, you know, but they've become so used to using those words, you know, friend and love, that it's definitely lost. The meaning is lost in translation.
And almost as if they're interchangeable, because your colleague is totally different from your friend.
Absolutely. I when I did work with people, they were colleagues. I mean, I was there every day with them, but I didn't consider them friends, and I know a lot of people do. Oh, my friend at work, you know, and things like that. So, yeah, it's just thrown out. I'm not saying you can have a friend at work. I'm not saying that at all. But everybody is a friend now, like you said. And we do need to be careful how we use words.
We want to let everyone know out there that your mic is open, so you're free to chime in on the discussion or ask any questions, or if you have a comment that you'd like to make. We're talking about love and friend and friendship, discerning the true meaning versus its misuse of the word, and how it has been used in such a way until it's almost lost its meaning. I want to throw something out there. I was in a group this week, and it was my way of getting myself mentally back into the groove of being ready for the talk show. And so I went in to answer a question. And in the dialogue, the back and forth dialogue, someone said something that struck me to the point where I was kind of like stunned, and I just stared for a very long time at their response and what they wrote. And one of the things that they said was, love is luck, and love is, they said, luck, and what was the other word they said that threw me just off? Gut. Love and having a good relationship was purely about luck and your guts. The gut to stick it out, through anything. And I said, wow, what an understanding of love. Because I think love is far more than luck. If love was about luck, you would have better odds.
Right.
You know, because, you know, in a game of luck, you got a 50% chance of winning, just like you have a 50% chance of losing. So if love is about luck, then you should have it as much as you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. Or maybe you guys can enlighten me a little bit more. And then guts, you know, it's about guts. And the way she used it, I don't think that you need the guts to stick it out. I think that when you love someone and you commit yourself to a relationship, to think of it in the terms of having guts about it, or to think of it in the terms of you're giving up something in order to maintain that, to me is just the energy that you're bringing into the relationship with that thought is already putting you behind the eight ball. So I want to talk a little bit, and I want the callers who are calling in to chime in on something. I mean, what do you think about a statement like that? Do you guys believe that love is purely luck? That is the luck of the draw. If you find someone to love, and you must have guts to stick it out. I thought that really struck me, because I, like Sky, I'm an energy person. So I believe that you're attracted to a person. First, most people say by your look, but you can get an attraction walking in the room before you lay an eye on the person. You'll feel their energy before you even see them. It's their energy that will draw your eyes to them.
Mm-hmm.
So does anyone have any enlightenment on that for me? Because I'm open to enlightenment too. Would you say it's luck, hey, Michelle? Love is luck?
I definitely don't think love is luck. I don't know quite how to define it, but I definitely wouldn't define it as luck.
Because if it is, I want to be the house, because, you know, the house always wins. You go to a casino, the house is going to have more money than whatever winner is coming out the door. The house is always winning. Even when you win, the house is winning. So I want to be the house if it's, you know, if it's about luck. But that struck me as odd. And the reason why it struck me as odd is because so many people today don't believe in love. So saying something like that is very easy because they really don't believe in love. They think it's just something to say, and that people really don't love anyone. They just in a deep like, and, you know, and it's something that you fall in and out of, and you can do it at a whim. You can wake up one morning and say, I don't love him anymore. And I thank God that, you know, my parents loved me, and they never woke up saying they didn't love me. And I just believe that love has more to it than that. Love has far more power to it than that for us to think of it in such a cavalier way.
Yeah. We also need to think about how we receive the word. You touched on that earlier. Like I said, we are all love, and we all need love. And so many people are deprived of that, that as soon as somebody says it to them, they accept it, you know, that, oh, they love me, and they'll go with that without really thinking about if something has to develop or how they're being treated even. You know, I had a client recently, I'm not going to give a lot of detail, but it disheartened me because her mate really was doing horrible things. I mean, just really horrible things that you do not do to people you love. But she still sat there and believed this person really and truly loved her. And, you know, I asked her, but how do you reconcile that, you being treated that way with love? Well, it's the way she knows how to love, is what she said. You know, so, you know, we're having that discussion now, she and I. But her need, and a lot of people's need, desperate need for love, and we all need that, that they will fall for anything. They will accept it in any, you know, by any terms. Even if it's harmful, they'll still see it as love. You know, so we got to think about how we receive it as well when somebody say those words to us.
I'll go with that. I'll agree with that. I do a Bible study during the week, and one of the things I say to them all the time, you have every right to go back and check and question anything that I say. You'd be remiss not to.
Mm-hmm.
You should not take what I'm saying as face value. I could be telling you anything.
Yep.
You should go back and make sure for yourself that what I'm telling you is accurate. And we say, how do we know and how do we check whether or not someone really loves them? Well, we just finished talking about that, and Sky just finished saying something about this. She said this person was doing things that just shouldn't be done if you love them. I think we have to stop letting people off with saying things like, well, this is how I love. You know, I love you. This is the way that I love. We know that there are certain things that under no circumstances should even be perceived as love, even if that is what you think love is. You fracturing a jaw, whether you think that's how I love is right or not, is not love. And you talking down and belittling your partner, there's no reason that you should accept that in the name of love. Now let them, make them use the words they really mean. Because that's why people are misusing words so often. Because we don't think we have the right to check anybody on anything they're saying and doing anymore. It's not my business, even when it is your business. It's not my business, I can't change them. Well, you're not changing them by saying, this is not love to me. What you're doing and what you're saying to me right there, that's not love. I want you to really, don't tell me you love me. I want you to really use the right words. There are millions of words that exist. Use the one that really applies to what you mean. We use love for everything. I love ice cream. You like ice cream. I really love red bottoms. You like them. How could you love an inanimate object? You like it. And you don't have to use the word love to express how much you like it. To, you know, for us to get that you really like it. The word like is totally acceptable. But we let people get away with using words to us. And then if you check, oh, you want to give me the words to say, you won't let me talk. Now, I want to understand what you're saying to me.
Well, the thing, too, with that is people love differently. I mean, a person, you think about it, a person who doesn't even love themselves, how can they really love you to that degree? People love where they are. Understand how they grew up. If they weren't shown love, you know, they can come from a different place. So what love is to them, you know, is could be totally different from what it is to you, you know, on a higher level. And so what needs to happen is if somebody's telling you this is how I love, accept it, you know, and you know that your love is different and that your expectation is higher, then you have to look at that person and say, that's not good enough for me. To use your example, somebody's busting you in your jaw, you know, that should not be acceptable to you because that's the way that person loves. You know, so you have to be the one to say, okay, this person is not my match because it's just not going to work because they're on a different level of love than I am. You know, and that's the reality of it. I think we go into situations where we can change people, you know, and make them love me more. They're gonna love you where they are in the moment and how they know how to love and as much as they love themselves. And that's the reality of it. And a lot of people don't want to face that reality. I always say it's very important to try and find someone who loves the way you do. And a lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't understand what I mean by that. But you have, it takes getting to know people. It takes having conversations, you know, to know what do they value, what kind of things do they do. That'll show you their level of love, you know. And if it's one that matches yours, because if not, if someone can bust you in your jaw and think that they're loving you, you know, that's not on your level, and things are not going to work. They're just not.
Right. Mm-hmm. My listeners out there, you guys have been very quiet. I think
you guys are doing a good job.
I think the key to that, Sky, I definitely agree with what both of you are saying, but I think for me, in my personal experience, I had to learn how to love me first, and then I started to accept something different. I didn't have a lot of love from my mother growing up. She was a provider. She wasn't a nurturer. And there was a lot of abuse in the home. So for me, I was so desperate to be loved no matter what it looked like that I would accept anything. And I mean anything. I can tell you some stories. So it took me to love me and to let God into my life and understand that God loves me for me to start saying, that's not what love looks like. I'm not supposed to have a black eye. I'm not supposed to have an STD. I'm not supposed to be fighting with other females over you. So I started to accept love differently, if that makes sense, because I started to love myself. If love looks like cheating, if love looks like you being physically abusive, you being mentally and emotionally abusive, I'm going to sit here in my own space loving me, if that's what that looks like. So a lot of people don't love themselves, so it's hard to set boundaries and guidelines for what love should look like for you.
No, but the boundaries that you're setting are boundaries for you. You're not setting a boundary for them. You're saying what you're willing to accept as love. You're not. If they can't meet that, then okay, that's fine. Maybe now is not the time where we can be together. It's not forcing them to push themselves into being somewhere they're not, because they wouldn't be able to stay there. You know, because you know we grow based on how we're willing to change from pot to pot. Some of us want to stay in the same pot and have our roots and everything coming all out of the bottom of the pot until we're really strangling ourselves and killing ourselves because we're afraid to move to another pot. So you're not saying this is how you must love me. What you're saying is this is how I need to be loved. And if you can't do it, I understand, but I can't stay here in this because I either have to say that I'm willing to accept this love, and then that means I'm altering love for me and what I believe love should be and how I believe love should be and stepping back to where you are, or I have to move forward to where love is going to meet me where I am. Like Sky was saying, one of the other things I was told in the group was that I used the term, you have to make sure you're evenly yoked. And I try to be careful when I'm talking to people not to use too many spiritual terms and too many religious terms because some people don't believe. But I believe that within every faith, every religion, it's for some, it's almost just simply a philosophy. And so within that, there's a philosophy that applies whether you believe in God or whomever or not. To be evenly yoked is simply what Sky said earlier. Find someone who loves like you do. To be evenly yoked simply means to be alike, to find something that complements you. You can't make anybody move faster than they're willing to move and to grow faster than they can grow, because we're growing based on what we're willing to absorb and what we're willing to allow to edify us spiritually and energy-wise. So you can set boundaries. You're not setting them for them. you're saying what your limits are as to how far away from your needs you're willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, one of our biggest concerns about setting boundaries and being able to sit down and really tell people what we want is our fear of maybe we won't find it.
Exactly.
But this is a
mm-hmm.
big world. It's
mm-hmm.
a big world. And our circles are bigger than we can imagine. You just got to find the right pool or the right pond. And you get in that right pond, and there are tons and tons of fishes that are swimming that are just like you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but sometimes we want to be in a pond that's not for us. Sometimes we want to be a big fish trying to swim in a little pond because we want to remain at a certain level. Sometimes we little fish wanting to swim in the big pond because we want to get to a certain level. And I'm going to tell you what happens to a little fish in the pond with a big fish. It gets eaten. And I tell people all the time, if you're going to swim with sharks, then you know you have to know how to swim while bleeding without the shark getting the scent of the blood. And that's a difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't swim with sharks. Because you can't stop the scent from moving in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the shark looking you eye to eye might not attack you, there's some coming from different angles. So it's important to understand who you are so that you can understand what pool you're supposed to be in. We think we're going to miss out on something. We think we're going to lose something. We think we're going to be alone forever. You're not. You just have to be willing to let your energy freely flow.
Mm-hmm.
It will connect with someone like you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do anything. It will connect. And we can't be afraid of that out of fear that we'll be alone. And fear is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, we don't need you guys out there to start talking back to us. I know we're doing a good job, but it's nice to have you talking back to us. Anyone have anything they want to add? Don't let that fear make you remain in silence now. So let's talk about how we can get people to actually, how we can identify when someone says, they love you, or someone says you're their friend, and how you can identify whether or not it truly is what they're saying. And as Guy was saying, you know, you have to take time and you have to really get to know people so that you know when they're telling you something that's true and when they're telling you something that's not true, and get those connections with those people. And then help them to use the right words.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time when they say, well, you know, you're my friend, we're associates. And, you know, boy, they get so upset with me that I would say that, but we are associates. And how do I know that we're associates? Because you don't walk with me. You don't support me. Because we are cordial with one another and we speak whenever we see one another, doesn't make you my friend. It's because friendship is more than that. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you got to ride and die with me, because I would hope that if I'm that far off to the left and I'm leading you to death, You can pull my coattail and say, look, I ain't gonna tell you this in front of everybody else because we cool and we friends and everything. But have you lost your mind? We are not doing that. So let's just move on and mosey along. Let's just go and do some. We will not be doing this. This is not going to be good for either one of us. I love you. And I'm going to always support you in front of them folks. We know they, so that they know we are truly friends, but I have to check you as your friend.
Mm-hmm.
here in private and tell you that's not going to happen. You're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend should be able to do that. Friends should be able to tell you you're wrong and you're not lose your friendship. But we don't want to check mm-hmm. friends either because, you know, we don't want to lose our friends.
And that's when you can tell us a friend, one that will check you, you know, one that will check you. You don't want a yes person to me. A yes person is not truly a friend to you. And it just takes time. Everybody has to understand that these things take time to develop. They're actions. They're not just words. A friendship is built over experiences and experiencing things with each other and connecting on that level. A Facebook person, you know, I will use the term, oh, it's a Facebook friend, only because that's what Facebook calls people, you know, friends, Facebook friends.
Right.
I was talking to somebody, she's a Facebook friend, you know, something like that. Can they develop into real friendships? Absolutely, but it's going to take time if that's what the energy leads you to being friends. You know, you'll connect outside of Facebook, you know, and we'll develop something there, and they can indeed become good friends over time. But it's just so often, oh, this is my friend, this is my friend, that's my friend, that's my friend. And they really believe they have 500 friends because they have them on Facebook. It's amazing to me.
Friends are fans, one of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. I have people that will say things, and a very close friend of mine got into this heated discussion in a group once because, you know, people do all kinds of interesting things in groups. They'll block people from being able to read what they're writing. You see comments where people are commenting back, which, you know, that's just a strange, to me, strange behavior for a group because it is kind of like a social setting and you wouldn't go to a party and have a discussion and exclude people from an open discussion, you know. So to me, that's just weird behavior and a lack of social skills. But that's me. But someone was saying something about me, but they kept calling me by my screen name. And so the person responded to them, well, do you even know them? And they were like, yes. And again, they used my screen name. So they said, well, what's their real name? And they didn't know it. So how can you have all of these feelings with regard to someone that you don't even as much as know their name? And that's, some people have so many friends that they can't even accept any more friends on their page. They don't know when somebody's left their page.
Mm-hmm.
But they will still identify that person as a friend. They've never met them. They don't have any discussions with them offline. If I call you a friend, we've exchanged numbers. We communicate. We talk. We talk behind the scenes. I've been knowing for, you know, 20-something years. And I know this person. They know me. They know me well enough to have someone saying something about me. They know whether or not that's something I would legitimately do. And a friend knows that about you. As Sky was saying, you have to build. We don't want to. Everything is like fast food. And even fast food is not fast food anymore. So let's change that. Everything is like microwave. We pop it in, ding, we're friends. We pop a person in, ding, we're in love. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't care if you talked for 18 hours. I mean, love is really strong. It's, what do you really know? But 18 hours of information that you haven't even gotten an opportunity to even put through the test.
That's true. And in the age of electronics and social media and all those things, we are more detached than ever. So
yeah.
It's even harder to connect and build real friendships with people the way we used to. I mean, before these things happened, I remember that time, we didn't have all these things in place. You had to physically meet people, go with people, go to their houses, they come to your house, things like that. It doesn't happen so much anymore. You know, I
and
remember,
when they do,
yeah,
when they do come to your house, they're sitting there on their phones. They're not even engaging with you. They're busy engaging. You're at a social event engaging with cyber social. You know,
mm-hmm.
it just boggles the mind.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I remember a while back, because when you and Sky, you can attest this, when you're living in New York and you're on a train, and sometimes you have extremely long rides, so you're either reading the newspaper, listening to music, or you're reading a book, or, you know, you're doing something of the sort, because eye contact is just not the best thing to have, you know, at least for long periods of time. So I was reading this book called The Dumbing Down of Society. And it was all about social media and how the internet turned totally into something that it really wasn't opened up to be. The internet was supposed to be an information highway where you had access to information in ways that you had never had access before. You could actually for yourself find out what was going on in other countries rather than to take the word of what the media was showing you. And we in turn turned it into social media and a dating tool and mechanism. And even calling it social media is a stretch, because most people who are on social media have no social skills. And we're just getting worse at it, because, you know, you don't have to leave your house in
uh-huh.
order to build a relationship and build a friend. And you can be anybody you want to be behind the screen.
Uh-huh.
And some people are even so strong in the beliefs of who they've created themselves to be that they're even willing to meet you face-to-face knowing that that's not who they are.
Mm-hmm. I'm really particular.
Go ahead.
I'm really particular with my friends, my real friends. If something happens to your children, if something of importance happens in your life, and you don't call me and tell me about it, and it's on, you post it on social media, don't expect a response from me. I got really strict rules for my friends. If something happens to me, if I'm in the hospital, don't put no picture of me laid up in the bed. If I want you to know, I will personally have, you know, I have rules. I got certain people in place to call certain people if I'm incapacitated and can't put it out there. I just think social media is so impersonal. For my real friends,
mm-hmm.
I want to call you and say, this is what's happened to me, or this is what's happened to my child. You know, let's pray together. I don't want that on Facebook, because I just, stuff like that is personal.
Right.
So don't tell me about it. Don't tell me about your marriage if we're friends. I don't want to find out about it on Facebook. If you're my friend, you should call me. That's just how I am. I'm real funny about that. So my friends put something on Facebook and I don't respond, or I don't give them the response they want, and they call me out on it. I thought you was doing it for entertainment. I didn't know it was real. Shit, I didn't know.
You're a mess.
I'm serious. I am a mess.
I know you
I
are.
I am a mess.
That's why you're a mess, because I know you're serious.
I'm dead serious. Oh, you wanted me to come to your child's graduation? I didn't get an invitation. It was on Facebook. You weren't talking to me. And that's just
exactly.
how I am.
That has to
but
be
that's
a
not real to me. I think Facebook is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
it
real
is.
To me. So if you put it on Facebook and you expect a response from me, then you obviously you're not my friend, because you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I concur on that. I shouldn't find out if you and I are close. I shouldn't be sitting somewhere and someone tell me something about someone who's supposed to be my close friend, and this is my first time hearing it, and I'm not hearing it from them. What?
And that's offensive to me.
I'd be like, I don't know nothing about that. Hey, must not, you know, it must have been something they didn't want me to know because, you know, I'm hearing it from you. So, I'm with you on that one. But I'm not a private person, but I am a very, aloof is one of the best words I could use. People consider me to be aloof because, you know, they're not sure if I'm even paying any attention to what they're saying, and I can seem a little bit standoffish. And it's not because I'm guarded about you. It's just that I'm just paying attention, and far more closer attention than, you know, you might even think that I am. I see things and I hear things that most people, you know, pass. They missed it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm fully aware of whatever surroundings that I'm in, and it's not because I don't feel comfortable. It's just who I am because, again, I'm an energy kind of person, and if things seem to be getting a little too thick, I know it's time for me to move. If the vibe is still good and everything, I'll kick back and relax, and we can talk all night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mirror. I'm really good at being a mirror, you know, so if you putting out something at me, I tend to show it back to you. You know, this is what you're giving. Is that what you mean? To give to me, especially if it's so strong, it's calling me. I was at a wedding rehearsal dinner, and I told my wife, I said, excuse me for a moment, and she jokingly said, nope, and I turned around, I said, really, and she said, nah, I'm just playing. I walked all the way across the room to go and talk to someone whose energy was so strong but so drastically different. Till I had to find out if there was something that was going on between us. And when I got back there, it was really about them just being so tired and so drained, and they just were exacerbated at the moment about things that were going on. And, you know, so we sat down and we really had a talk about what was going on. And so I gave her a hug because I said, you know, I just wanted to make sure we were good because I could just feel you so strongly across the room. I was talking to my wife, and I said, baby, you know, did you notice how strange they were acting? And I do that all the time to my wife, and, you know, I get the speech. No, you're just dreaming that up. And I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't even hear that. I didn't see that. But I don't miss a whole lot because I'm just, you know, that kind of individual. And not everybody's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will call you to question, you know, did I do something? I just want to know because, you know, your energy has changed with me. And I know I haven't done anything because I've been too busy and I haven't seen anyone. So no one can tell you I said anything. So, you know, whatever it is, don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time I'm going to explain that to you. I'm telling you it's not anything between us, and don't believe it. And if you choose to believe it, then I'll deal with it accordingly. But I'm not going to keep hammering you because you should know me better than that. I mean, if you know me at all, then you know what I will and what I won't do.
Right. Absolutely.
I don't throw any surprises. I'm very open. I don't give you any surprises. If I'm saying something to you, I don't give any subliminal messages to you, I will call your name. I will call you by name. So there's no question as to whether or not I'm discussing you, if I'm talking to you, or if I'm dealing with something that you've done, I will use your name. And why can't I? We're grown. We should be able to discuss things with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, tonight we're talking about the misuse and the accountability of the words that the words, especially words love and friendship, that people are using. And I do want to hear something from at least one of the people that are dialed in tonight. If it's nothing more than I concur. So I know you didn't fall asleep on us.
I think that's all.
I have a question. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. And I don't know if this is would go by statistics or just your own personal knowledge, but what's a good number of friends? I mean, I know I've heard from time to time that you're lucky if you only have two friends your whole life. I've heard all these wise tales, but I don't know if they're actually wise tales or if there's some truth in it.
One of you want to handle that?
I can speak for myself. What I've learned is because of the time it takes to develop friendships and things like that, it's hard to have a lot of friends, of really, you know, good friends. I right now, I can say I can count my friends on one hand, literally, over the years. I've come up against people, I call them acquaintances, you know, and we probably hang out more than I do with my really good longtime friends. But they're not that. You know, things are still developing. So what I call really close and good friends, that happens over time. That happens over years. So for me, I can count mine on one hand. But I have, you know, I have several acquaintances that are close. But on one hand, I can count my truly, truly real and good friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that aid us in slipping up into thinking some people are friends is because some people gravitate to you when the people that they did perceive as friends kind of step away from them for a moment. And so then they gravitate to someone else who is near. They maintain a relationship with you. It may not be a friendship, even though they're using the word friend. They maintain a relationship with you, but you know where your friendship stands if those old friends come back, and how they deal with you in that process. If they kind of change with you and things start to get a little strained between you, you were actually associates. They just called you a friend because the friends that they had at the time didn't want to be friends anymore. My number of friends might be just a tad bit larger than Skye's. I might have two hands of friends that are friends. And, you know, and that might be dangerous for me to say. And the rest are associates because we aren't really that close, you know. I love them. I mean, I really deeply like them. That's what love means. I really deeply like them. I love them. But I know that when push comes to shove and times get rough and times are hard and I need someone to talk to, they don't call on me and I don't call on them. So if that's the case, then I have to be realistic and say that's not a friend. That's an associate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with a person being an associate because that associate could one day grow and build into being your friend.
Mm-hmm.
over time, yeah.
If you, you know, if you stick it out over time and continue to communicate with one another and build that bond and build that trust, but just to call everybody who will open their arms temporarily or even for a long period of time a friend, everybody who's smiling and opening their arms to you aren't doing it for what's best for the both of you. And friendship, unfortunately, are like a two-way street. It's not your job to just be a friend to them and they not be a friend to you, because then you don't have a friend. You're being a friend, but you don't have a friend. And friends are mutual. I give back. It's a give and take kind of thing. I feed you, you feed me. I carry you sometimes, you carry me. I hold your hand when you need me to and not say one word. You do the same for me. Something hurts, I don't even have to talk about it. You'll get it. You'll feel it. You'll know it. Because my energy will be different to you. You know my energy because you're my friend, and we kind of flow circular with one another.
And that developed over time. That knowing developed over time. Yeah, and I just want to keep stressing that because that's what it is. It takes time to develop those things, the friendships and the love. It takes time. People jump too quickly, way too quickly, and call it what it's not, you know, and then they're disappointed. And one way to know what it truly is that you've taken the time to really get to know these individuals and determine what they are to you.
Right. Yeah. And instead of trying to touch in on your bullet points. So what I need from a friend is someone who will loan me money, someone who will cover for me when I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do. Someone is, you know, that bullet point thing is not where you're really going to find that friend, because, shooks, you shouldn't be asking your friends to cover for you when you're doing something wrong. You know, that's not you being a friend to them. Our list of what we're looking for with love, some of us, it needs to change. We have some things that are on the top of the list that should go further down, you know, on the list. You know, we want to know certain things about people. Some of the, I remember when I was in the dating pool, and if everybody doesn't mind, we'll talk a little bit longer. I remember when I was in the dating pool, and some of the first questions I would get was, well, what type of sex do you like? I'm like, well, don't you think it's kind of early to ask that question? You haven't even asked me, you know, any other things I like what kind of music I like. You know, those kinds of things tell you a lot about me. Who are my favorite authors? You know, what do I do as a hobby? Those kinds of things tell you a lot about me as a person. How I like my sex doesn't tell you anything. Because I don't have to have anything attached to my sex. So you're not knowing anything about me other than what I'm willing to do in bed. You're not even concerned whether or not it has any attachment to it aside from flesh pleasure. Because, see, what you really should have been asking me is, how do I touch your mind to make you open up to want to share your body? You've already closed my door, and I'm a sexual being, and you've already closed my door. If your first question is, well, what type of sex do you like? You don't even know my middle name. Okay. Well, let's close this one out and have a drink, and when we finish this drink, let's go. And if it's tea, it can go down even quicker because, you know, you don't have to sip on that. You just drink that real quick. Oh, I got to go in. I'm done. You know, and it's just that kind of stuff, because we're trying to find out a whole lot of superficial things about people instead of going deeper in order to know whether or not this person's core beliefs in any kind of way works with my core belief. Because at the end of the day, if we're on opposite ends of the pole, sometimes getting to the middle is tough. So we can't be desperate for friendship. We can't be desperate for lovers, because they're out there. They are out there. And they're as willing as you are to build and work on relationships and friendships. And they want to be sure that they can trust you, because see, your friend and your partner, and I think anybody who says they don't want their partner to be their friend, they don't have to be your best friend, but if you don't want your partner to be your friend, you know, for me, that's pretty tough. My partner has to also be a friend of mine, because I need to be able to trust you.
Right.
I need to know that what I'm sharing with you, while everyone else thinks I'm a bear, you know I might be a bear, but I'm a teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And not that grizzly.
That brings up another question for me. Do you believe that your partner has to share your friends?
Is that to me or anybody?
Anybody.
Okay. Go ahead, guys.
I'm going to say no.
You
have different personalities, and so you have different interests, and it's okay to not share the same friends as your mate. Most of the mates I date, they are really into sports. I don't like sports. So hanging out, going to watch a game, talking about the game, that's not going to interest me. So I'm probably not going to be their friend, my mate's friends. Yeah, that's okay.
I don't believe that your friends have to be the same, but I do believe that your friends have to understand that you are in a relationship, and they have to be respectful to your relationship. They don't have to be your friend, but they do have to respect your relationship. And if they are truly your friends and they love and care for you enough, they won't put you in a position where you're choosing. I don't think friendships are about you having to always be put in a position where you're choosing between your friend and your partner.
But what if your friends don't like your partner?
For me, it's not about them liking them, but everybody's going to respect everybody. That's the only thing that I ask. My friends don't have to share what I share with my partner, so they're not required to like them, but we're going to respect everybody. I mean, everybody's going to play nice and speak and be cordial, and that's all that I ask of my friends and of my mate.
Sky?
Yeah. I was just thinking, once again, it goes back to if you're in a relationship with someone and they already have friends, you know, again, that's something that will develop. You know, your friendship with that person who was already in their life before you, again, over time is something that will develop into what it will develop into. Now, if that person doesn't like you, you know, for whatever reason, like you said, as long as they respect me, you know, in our relationship, then, you know, whatever your problem is your problem. Maybe over time, you know, we get to know each other better, things might change. But, no, it's not that you guys have to become best friends with your partner's best friend. But they are going to be in your life because they were friends of your partners. But in time, it will develop into what it'll develop into. I know when my partner died, one of her really good friends is now a very good, you know, she's becoming a good friend of mine. But that happened over time. It happened over time. And it was her best friend. You know, so we have that. We both lost somebody we love very much, you know, and we've been a support to each other. So, you know, we're good friends. We're in different states now. She's getting ready to get married, and I'm going to go to L.A. for that, you know, and things like that. But I think we'll be friends for a very long time. But, again, it's something that developed over time.
Thank you, guys.
And, you know, sometimes you can ask your friend. You know when your friend likes your partner or not. And if you're willing to stand on that rock, you can ask your friend, you know, what is it? You know, what's why? Do you think that they're taking me from you because you had me as a friend before, and now, you know, you have to share me, you know, and share our time, you know, what is it? If there's beef or something between them and you know that they've had some kind of, you know, rough interaction, then you pretty much know, you know, what the issue is between them. But if they really haven't had any real beef and the person just doesn't like the person, but it's your friend and you care about your friend and you care about your friendship, and this is your partner and you care about your partner and you care about your relationship, that has you juggling, or you're in the middle of a candle that's burning on both ends. And I, as your wife, I'm not going to ask you to break your friendship. I will just respectfully tell you that I'm going to respect your friend, but I'm not going to let her disrespect me. And if there's a function or something, I will go and I'll be cordial, but I'm not going to be disrespected, and I would expect nothing less of them. But if they continue to believe and think that it's all right to disrespect me, then me being who I am, you're going to get what you get. You get what your hand calls for. Friend or no friend, because I'm respecting you, and you know, and you don't know how I feel about you. You know, I'm only going on how you behaving with me. You don't know how I feel about you. So, you know, you might get what your hand calls for, because I might not like you, but because you're my wife's friend, I'm going to be respectful.
Mm-hmm. And that happened to me. It actually happened to me. A really good friend of mine is one of the five that I can count on my one hand. She didn't like someone that I was seeing at a particular time. And my thing was, you don't know her. So how are you saying, you know, I just have a bad feeling. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I said, if you see something, you know, just let me know. Otherwise, get over it, you know. And she did, and over time we just all began to blend, you know, and they became friends as time went on, and we got to know each other better. She got to know her better and things like that. So, and it worked itself out. You know, a lot of times your good friend is going to have a little bit of jealousy, perhaps, you know, some, it depends. This particular one did. But, you know, again, in time, things work themselves out. Getting to know each other, it'll work itself out.
Okay. Anyone else have any other questions or anything else to say? Because we'll stick around and answer any questions, or anyone has any comments they want to make based upon what we're talking about tonight.
So when I part and I say peace and blessings to you all, trust and believe that I mean those words and I put those into action by coming to you every Thursday night, having iron to sharpen iron. I'm learning from you, and I'm hoping that you're gaining something from us, and that is my way of sharing peace and blessings unto you. I want to say thank you to A. Michelle and Sky Vaughn for coming in and being gracious and wonderful as they always are. I want to thank all of the callers for calling in tonight. It's because of you that we continue to come here on Thursday nights and do this thing and have this forum for you to be able to share your information or have any expressions that you would like. I want to say thank you from the bottom to the top of my being for dialing in. We're going to sign off, and I hope everyone has a great night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.